because there's unhealthy attachment or, but there's also healthy attachment. Like, what's so bad about being attached?
Well,
right?
Is there healthy attachment? Like, that was one of the questions that I wrote down.
What's so bad about?
Life is amazing, like, of course, by yourself, but I think it's just as nice when you, like, share it with someone else or with your friends and other people and community. I think as long as it's, like, you have boundaries and you're not, like, overly attached, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a really beautiful thing. Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast. This is your co-host, Jules.
And this is your co-host, Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover real stories.
We're here to chat about a range of topics from personal growth, mental health, TV shows, and much more.
Come sit with us
and get nourished.
Hey, Rox.
Hey, Jules.
How are you going?
Pretty good. How are you? Good.
Yeah, I'm feeling quite cozy.
Yeah, same. It's getting colder, like, in Sydney, so... You know, like, in winter, I feel like the wardrobe is so much easier. You just throw on pants and a different sweater or jumper, and then that's it. And
I'm
a coat
opposite.
Or something. But I do love summer more, like, weather-wise. But yeah, I feel like I don't need a shave. Like, it's just, you know, I'm all rugged up and hidden.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the opposite. I prefer the summer outfits better.
Outfits? Okay.
Yeah, because my go-to is just like t-shirt or tank top and shorts.
That's true too.
Whereas like winter is like you got to make sure it's like you're not too hot or you're not too cold.
And there's lots of layers so you're bulky.
Yeah. Actually though, like I think as an adult, I feel like I'm getting better at dressing for winter now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I always wear my heat tech.
Mm.
I was always cold in winter.
My gosh, me too.
But now
you
always warm.
That extra layer. When that layers in, you're like, it's winter.
It's the best.
And that hasn't happened yet. We're not in heat tech season yet, but it'll happen.
Yeah, it will happen. Today's topic was quite interesting where we got the idea from.
Mm-hmm.
We like putting Insta stories up on our Instagram at Asian Soup Podcast. And Reels. And we put up a question about... Well, we had that reel with from episode 3, relationship episode.
Yeah,
about chopping my hair off.
Because
that was just like a technique that I had to not get attached to my hair, even though I wasn't really attached to my hair, but just in case.
You're using it as an analogy for our like serious-ish relationships topic. But then Julia went on and on about her hair and it was just so funny. But it was a good analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so we cut that up in a reel, that little snippet, put it up, and we put up a question saying, do you do anything to prevent yourself from getting attached?
Mm.
Like chopping your hair. And some people reply saying, yep, I try to do things on my own, or I try and do this or this. Mm-hmm. Don't expect anything in return.
Mm.
That was a nice one.
Yeah.
And then some people, though, said, no, actually... Just let myself feel and let myself get attached.
Yeah. Or, like just let yourself feel what you feel.
Yeah. Or being vulnerable is like the best part.
Mm.
And I was like, that's really nice as well.
Yeah.
And then me and Rock started like messaging each other and we're like, hey.
These people are so mature.
Are we like toxic? Are we like, like chopping hair off and stuff? Is that like toxic behavior? I don't know. Yeah. We still don't know the answer. But we thought... Let's chat about it today because it could be interesting to share about our attachment styles or are we codependent in our relationship or are we super independent? What are we kind of like and any learnings and see what similarities we have and share any stories.
And also like, you know, we could be attached to different things. Like there's attachment in, you know, relationships or objects, like you said. Your hair or money or whatever it may be. Could be photos or something. I don't know. Yeah, let's chat about it. So the first question is, what is attachment for you right now? Like, how are you feeling about attachment?
I did the attachment styles test.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, when I was doing that test, I really wanted to come out as secure.
Yeah, that's like the best result.
Look, I want to be secure.
There's only four attachment styles.
Yeah.
So
there's four.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through them real quick?
Yes. I don't know if I remember the third one. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the first one was anxious attachment style.
Yeah.
Which we both, both our results were anxious. preoccupied.
Yeah.
And then the second one was avoidant, which is kind of avoidant, dismissive. Third one is disorganized, also known as fearful, avoidant. Fearful, avoidant. Okay. And then the last one is secure.
Mm. Yeah. So I wanted to be the fourth one. But I'm, yeah, anxious, as Rox just said. And so I think, you know, I was reading like, I mean, I don't love being put into like a category, to be honest, but then I do enjoy looking at the traits and seeing which ones align with me. Mm-hmm. And it did help me understand a little bit like what type of, how attached, I guess, I am to Ryuto. Some of them were like, yep, I think that's me. And maybe I can be a little bit clingy, but I think I also am at a place where I'm like, can be independent as well. And I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm like a crazy girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
but maybe in my 20s, maybe I was.
Yeah.
If we're talking, we're talking about like attachment in relationships, right?
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So I think generally I'm definitely more the clingier type,
mm-hmm.
and craving like attention and like validation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, that those sort of things, I was like, yeah, okay, that does sound a bit more like me.
Yeah.
What about you? Is it kind of similar?
Yeah, it's kind of similar. Like when I did the little test and I looked at the traits, I was like, wow, pretty much all the traits are me. Like I was like, seeking approval. Yes, that's me. Generally, these anxious, preoccupied has negative self-image, which was also me. Fear of being alone, which is also me. Clingy or fearful of being abandoned, also me. And like you said, though, I think in my 20s or relationships in my 20s, it definitely showed up a bit more than now. I feel like I'm a little bit more calm now, but I think there's still that's still me. Like, yeah. I definitely am not secure. Like, I can't, I'm definitely not.
Definitely in my 20s. It's easier to look back at your 20s and break it down,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard.
It's happened.
Yeah, it's happened. We've moved on.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about like right now, I'm just like,
analyze myself right now.
I'm not that self-aware.
Yeah.
And it's probably like,
oh my God,
too real.
Yeah, like I think when I'm 40 or 35, then I can look back at when I was 30 or early 30s, and we can assess. But right now,
yeah,
I don't think I'm right about myself right now. Do
right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think when we're 40, we'll have like another perspective. We'll be like, oh, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But we could have...
So silly.
But we could have another episode later on, like about revisiting this topic.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like this conversation, even just tonight, like we could realize something about ourselves. Even like you asking me that question, like what does attachment mean to you?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I have no idea. But like even just reading about the attachment styles makes me understand a little bit more.
Yeah. Like I'm still learning.
My tendencies. Yeah.
Exactly. Or even like where they come from.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when I, you know, I feel like in the media and social and articles these days, a lot of people talk about attachment styles and I've been seeing it a lot, but I haven't really thought about it for myself that much.
Too.
And then, you know, they always say everything stems from your childhood and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, wait, like my childhood wasn't too bad. Like why did I come out with this anxious, preoccupied, like fear of someone leaving? It's not like, yeah, it's just interesting.
Mm. Do you have any idea why?
I feel like when I was a kid, I really clung on to my parents a lot. Like I loved being around them and feeling safe around them.
Yeah.
I used to be really scared. Okay, this is really embarrassing, but I used to be really scared of sleeping by myself. I would always need the light on, and sometimes like my mum or my dad would sleep in my bed until I'm asleep and then they'll go to their bed. So I'm like even to this day, if when I'm this is so embarrassing, but when I'm single and I'm alone, I sleep generally with some kind of light on. Or if I'm traveling by myself and I need to go somewhere for a few nights, or I'm in a room, hotel room by myself for work or whatever, I need some kind of light on.
Really?
Yeah. But if I'm in a relationship, like a tight, you know, like your boyfriend or whatever, then I can have the lights off because there's someone right next to me who I like trust and love or whatever, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm just realizing this now. Like,
yeah, I can tell you. Like, her eyes are like sparkling right now.
As hell. Like, I need to be next to them, or I can't sleep properly.
Holy crap! Because I'm just thinking, like, I sleep so well
when you're by yourself.
Yeah, by myself. Like, even when I lived on exchange by myself for a year.
Oh, exchange was really bad for me. Oh, crap! Like sleeping by myself.
Shit,
I was so scared. So the second half of my exchange, I was in this really old French building this old lady had, and it was – the walls were scary. Like the wallpaper was blotched brown.
Oh, that's so scary.
Blotched brown, but it – and it also had that old school leather desk.
Oh.
And the old school, like, it was all wooden. Like it was a beautiful place, but there was also a sink in the room with the two lights. The building That's was that scary. Old that back in the day they had a sink in the bedroom just Why? To and a vanity, like just like a mirror and the sink, no toilet or anything.
Yeah.
Why? Right? And the two lights next to it that are really those dim yellowish ones, like just
like insert, you know, like the scary music now.
And it was exactly. Yeah. And that lady, she had this, she was a painter, like she liked painting. So she had all these paintings in the entrance and I had to go up two flights of stairs to get to my room.
Yeah.
So sometimes when it's nighttime, I'd be so scared. Oh. And then the attic, me and my housemate went and checked out the attic once. They're like old baby dolls, like just old things that we got scared of.
Oh, yeah, those dolls are scary though.
So I would stay up, I would watch YouTube or keep a show on my laptop and keep some kind of light on and then fall asleep.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I think I'm just also scared.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
And then I feel safer when there's someone. In a relationship thing, like I feel safer to sleep. That's like my sleeping problem. I have a sleeping, weird sleeping thing. Mm. That's just something else, but semi-related to attachment.
Maybe, yeah. Well, we're figuring it out. Let us know if we're going in the wrong direction, but that's interesting. I had no idea. I think I've mentioned this in a previous podcast episode, but I was always scared of hell. Like, because I grew up in a Catholic home. Yeah. And so that was like the scariest thing for me. I mean, I think it's scary Imagining for adults hell. As well, like dying.
Yeah, of course.
This is me as a little kid because I was told like, oh, you know, my mum would lightly say things like, oh, if you don't eat all your food, all the food, you're going to have to eat it in hell. Like it would accumulate and you got to eat it in hell.
Oh, what?
Like, she'll say it as a joke.
That's a joke. I'm like, that's not funny.
And then that night, I won't be able to sleep.
Oh, no.
And sometimes my parents will let me, like, go sleep in the same bed as them.
Yeah.
But usually they'll always let me in their bed, but they'll never come sleep, like, with me, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I always just feel like I slept in my own bed.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was never really scared of the dark as well. Yeah.
Scared of the dark.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are scared of the dark though.
Mm-hmm. I also got sleep paralysis when I was getting a bit older, from like 10, 11. So if the light's not on and I have sleep paralysis and my eyes are a little bit open, I thought I could see ghosts. So I was super scared. Like I didn't even realize what sleep paralysis was until I was 16 or more, older. And then I was like, oh, that's what it is. But it still doesn't make you more calm when it happens.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's fine. I just keep the light on and then have a more regular sleep pattern so I'm better. But yeah, this is unrelated, maybe not as related to attachment, but. Yeah. I am very fearful, which is a trait in anxious, preoccupied.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, okay, when I look back at my childhood,
yeah,
something that I could think of like, oh, maybe this is why I'm more anxious type, mm-hmm. is my parents were always so busy.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get like attention from them,
mm-hmm.
I would always have to either get like really good marks, even though mm-hmm. they weren't like tiger parents or anything. Mm-hmm. But just
you wanted
to
impress them.
I wanted to impress them.
Yeah.
So if I would draw something all day, but I wouldn't draw it because I want to draw.
You love drawing.
Yeah. Like I do love it, but I really just wanted that approval from my parents. I remember like I drew this like rainforest with my crayons.
Yeah.
Until the sun set and I was like, you know, couldn't even see anymore. I mean, I could turn the light on, but I'll be like so passionate. And I'm like drawing.
Yeah.
I'll show my parents and they'll be like,
wow.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice work. Yeah. And like they just brushed it off.
Yeah.
So after that, I just didn't really draw that much anymore. But if I did something like funny.
Mm-hmm. You need to try to do it again.
And they're like, oh, you're so funny. They'll laugh their heads off.
Yeah.
So I kept trying to like be funny.
Oh.
So like I would always like if I get good feedback, then I'll do more of it.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
So I think that's why I'm someone who wants validation and like I always want to do better and do more and, you know, keep my parents happy or make them proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that also, you know, going back to relationships mm-hmm. wise, like from Ryudo, I think I do want to be validated by him, I guess, mm-hmm. to some point, like
mm-hmm.
feeling maybe beautiful or feeling like I'm a good person or mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm still figuring it out, but
for sure, yeah. That's like totally a trait where it's like it's almost like you want to keep that person or relationship happy. Like you try to give them what they want because for me, it's like, oh, I'm scared you're going to leave because if I don't have that approval, you might leave me. It's almost like that feeling when I was younger anyway, but even now, maybe still like, maybe mm-hmm. still sometimes like, I don't know. Still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, it definitely comes from a place that is irrational, you know, being fearful that someone would leave you because it can happen, but it shouldn't be something you're scared about,
mm-hmm.
right, all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, not all the time, but by this stage or by this stage of my life. I don't know.
No, but it happens like people come and go matter the age.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I can be independent. Like I'm capable of it, but I don't want to be alone. Like I think that's two different things. Like you should be able to be independent and, you know, be able to do things on your own and look after yourself. Versus like relationship, and you'll be okay if you're alone, but it's also like, you know, maybe when I was younger, maybe I was in relationships for those wrong reasons. Like maybe it would have been better if I was alone and focused on myself, whereas I was so scared of losing something that I would just cling on to a relationship that wasn't that healthy, right? Mm. Or I was just so like desperate to like not lose a person or fearful of them leaving that I would just do anything I could or tried too hard to in hopes that they don't leave.
Yeah, right.
But then that's the thing, right? Like if you try too hard and you can't force someone to stay. So like then it will end anyway, right?
I find that to be really relatable more to my friendships.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Okay.
I'd say like I'd get attached to certain friends or I would definitely like be giving more and trying more just because like that friend, I guess, could give me something that made me feel validated or loved or mm-hmm. worthy and all these mm-hmm. things. And when that friend starts like pushing me away, for example, I'll get upset.
Yeah.
And I think like in my 20s, I did have friendships like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking back, I'm like, wow, I wish I could just tell my 20-something-year-old me that, no, like you're fine.
It's okay.
You don't have to try and fit in just because that friend is busy for you or whatever. It doesn't mean that you're not a good friend. Friendships are hard because they could value like their love relationship or family more. A lot of the times friendships gets pushed to the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I think I'll get really hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really different now. Like I'll look for people who will, I don't know how to describe it, but like, it's not like a one-way friendship. It's like, it's like healthy. It's healthy. It's like
you're both bringing each other up.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
you're both caring for each other when you're there. But yeah, more healthy. Not like you're relying on
it. No, not right? relying.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting is that you spoke just now, or we touched on validation. That's a really interesting point about attachment, is because when we were talking about relationships last time, it's almost like relationships or people or things shouldn't be seeking validation through those things. But then sometimes that does happen, right? Or sometimes that's what we were looking for when we were younger or whatever. Like sometimes that things do validate. We have things that do validate us. I don't know. And it might feel good, but sometimes it might be bad. Mm-hmm. But then if I like get validated by nothing, then I'm nothing. Am I just, I don't know. Sorry. I'm just
thinking. Validating by nothing. Like you're nothing.
Like if I had nothing to be validated, like I'll just be happy with myself, but then I'm attached to nothing.
What if you're the only human on this planet?
So I'll be attached to like animals or something, you know, maybe my koala friend and
like this tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Wilson. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking like validation, it's kind of like a tool because, you know, we're not living alone on this planet. We live with other people and in society. Mm-hmm. So if you see validation as like, okay, I'm worthy now, but rather think of it as, okay, I've been validated. These people think of me this way, and but don't like put any emotional attachment to it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of.
Might have to cut that whole bit out.
No, but I'm still trying to make sense of it. Yeah. So. But I think it's interesting. It's an interesting part of it, because there's unhealthy attachment but there's also healthy attachment. Like what's so bad about being attached? What's so bad about being attached to something?
Okay, let's answer that question.
What's so bad about being attached to something? I'm not saying too attached, but like what's so bad about being attached to, you know, your partner, you really love them, you live with them, you have a life with them.
Yeah. I think it really depends on who is answering this question. Yeah. If you're someone who's been like closed off your whole life and you're just starting to like open up, then get a little attached. It's okay. Mm. Be a little bit vulnerable. It's okay. Yeah. But if you're someone who's been attached for like your whole 20s and your teens, whatever, it has a different meaning. At least to me, when you say, you know, healthy attachment or why not be attached. I'm just like, no, I don't want to be attached, because that's something I don't really want to be at the moment. I want to be more independent and have like two people who choose to be together, not have two people who are just attached and dependent on each other. I don't know. Maybe I'm using really strong language here.
Or maybe it's your view of the word attachment.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That goes back to your first question. What does attachment mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think, but yeah, I get what you mean. Like, but attachment, two people wanting to be together, can that still be a form of attachment?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because there's secure attachment. Yeah. So I guess there is a healthy attachment.
Yeah. But if it's like one person more attached to one other, then that's bad. Or if you're too attached that you don't do anything else in your life, or that's the only thing you focus on, then, you know, it's not...
Mm.
Yeah, but nothing's perfect. So
Yeah. I mean, I think attachment, it's just something that's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Because we get attached to our parents as children. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that's always going to be there. Is there healthy attachment? I think there is. I think there is healthy attachment. It's like just the right amount of opening up and seeing how you really feel and I think life is amazing, like, of course, by yourself, but I think it's just as nice when you, like, share it with someone else or with your friends and other people and community. So I think as long as it's, like, you have boundaries and you're not, like, overly attached, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a really beautiful thing.
That's true.
So that's, I guess, my answer. I'm like figuring out. I'm sorry, listeners, because you're like, what are you talking about?
I think there's definitely, how to say it, the term attached isn't a great term.
Like, to you?
Like, I think in general, when we think of attachment, we think of, oh, you know, it's something stuck together and you can't move without it or something. It's like being too attached to something. Mm. I think that's how attachment is usually used as a term.
So to you?
Well, in general, like...
Well, because it could be a good thing. It's like, oh, it's attached. Oh, finally, my kid has attached to my nipple. Thank God, so I can sleep. The milk.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask you something about...
codependency. No. Where are you at with your hair attachment? Because I know that last time your example of your hair was that when it gets too long, you want to cut it off because you don't want to get too attached.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you feel that way in everything in life, or do you think it's just mainly your hair?
I think I do have a little bit of that tendency to cut things off. Like, for example, social media. I do a detox.
Yeah.
If I need to,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's much needed, mm-hmm. even with, like, you know, if I need to take a break, mm-hmm. I would just sort of, like, I don't know, I'm very good at, like, just turning off my phone on
that's good
night mode, whatever, mm-hmm. and just, like, not really, just switching off for a bit, rather than, like, always, like, responding mm-hmm. to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I allow breathing room for myself,
mm-hmm.
But with my hair, I'm just enjoying what I have at the moment.
I think I did
mention that in that clip.
Yeah.
Like, it was just very much like it. Chop it and do this, and but now I'm like, actually, if I have longer hair, I'm just gonna enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
and because I think longer hair looks nice on me,
mm-hmm.
like right now. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna like embrace take care it. Of it yeah. and just embrace it. Mm-hmm. That's sort of where I'm at.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you? Like, what do you do when you find yourself getting attached? Like, or do you do anything like chopping hair?
I don't think I like viewed it in that way until you said it. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because I recently chopped off my hair.
Mm.
But then in my view, it was more that it was just really long and it was weighing me down and it was hard to dry and stuff like that. But in terms of attachment and wanting it to end, I don't know. I think when I'm really unhappy, like if I'm really unhappily attached, like if I'm attached to something and it's not making me happy at all, or it's making me a bit negative or something, even like, say, even with family, I think family is a big one that I'm kind of working through right now, which is really hard, because I don't know how to say it. I think I'm still working through stuff from just family clashes, or there's like, I'll just not want to see certain people, or I'll just like not communicate for a while. But that's where I'm at like right now, and I'm still like trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
but it's definitely like, I'll also not fully cut it off, but I'll definitely like put a distance to certain relationships or friendships or whatever it might be. If it's something that I'm attached to, or a relationship that I have some kind of attachment to, but I'm not in a happy place, I'm going to put some distance there because it's too much and I need to like just be on my own, or else I can't just need to like breathe. Like, sometimes it's just like certain people in your life that you have an obligation with your family, right? Like kind of relationship or, you know, but sometimes you just say, even if you live with someone and, you know, just need to go for a walk on your own or go to the shops or meet a friend or something. It's kind of like that. It's like putting a bit of distance, like I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Like it's kind of like that. Or when it's too much, I'm like, I can't. So there's that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's attachment or if it's more relationship-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you're a really nice person.
No, but I'm only nice because I'm seeking approval. Right? Like, I want everyone to like me.
Oi, don't be so hard on yourself.
I want everyone to like me. And then that's why I have, like, 8 weddings to go to this year or something, like something fucked up. So I'm like, damn it, why do I have so many friends? Well, it's time for our segment.
Get nourished. Let's have some soup.
Yes.
So this is our kind of new segment where we make soup for each other.
Well, yeah, or bring soup that someone's made for us to try together.
So Rox has made some soup. I think you said this was from last night?
Yeah, I didn't make this one. This one, I was out last night for Mother's Day dinner, Mother's Day dinner, and we had Peking duck. And then so usually Peking duck, they'll do half one style and then half another style. So half of it you eat with the Peking duck slices and wrap it in the wraps. And then half of it you could either choose to do like stir fry or you could do a soup. So this soup is the other duck that isn't used. So it's like duck, vermicelli, some little cabbage, and some tofu. Yeah. So you can try it. Mm. Can you taste the duck?
It's like a clear soup. Mm-hmm. Actually, not super clear. It's kind of like white with Chinese cabbage. It kind of looks like shabu shabu to me.
Yeah. So when you order Peking duck, half of it is mainly the skin and you put it in the wraps. And then half of it, they use the meat or the leftover meat from like that's closer to the carcass, and they either make it a soup or they do stir fry.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like two-way because the duck is kind of big, right? And you only need the skin and a bit of meat for the duck wraps.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they use the rest for this.
Whenever we get the Sancho Bows, we always just do the fried rice version. Never done the soup version before.
Okay.
My family love that, by the way.
Oh, you mean Sancho about Peking duck, yeah.
Yeah, Peking duck, yeah. So good. You know how it's like they bring the duck out and they cut it in front of you?
Yeah.
So it's always like, oh. It's so special, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, special occasion.
Yeah.
So this is something you would only have when you're at a restaurant.
I think so.
And you'll never try and make it at home?
Probably not.
And does this have an official name?
Well, not, I don't think so.
It's just like,
it's just Peking duck and then
fried rice or soup.
Yeah.
Does that mean you'll only have this in special occasions as well?
I think so. My parents don't really make duck soup or anything. Yeah.
That was yummy. Oh, I'm nourished now. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. You can find us on Asian Soup Podcast on Instagram, YouTube, and all the podcast channels. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, see you in the next one. Bye.